Here to help us get a little bit unscrewed is fantasy football writer with Sportsnet.ca, among a number of other hats that he wears under the Sportsnet umbrella. It is Matt Marchese. Matt, how are you today, sir?
I'm good, Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. I am in the Christian McCaffrey fantasy ownership business, so not too well, but the good thing is, I guess good thing is basically everyone got hurt in week two, so now every backup is available on the waiver wire going into week three. It is crazy what we are dealing with, but when you look at waiver wire targets, what's one name that really does stand out to you among the rest?
Well, as I was getting prepared for this interview, I had something written, and Mike Davis was going to be the waiver wire pickup of the week. And then in that writing, I said, I trust Mike Davis a lot more than I trust Dion Lewis because, well, they could sign Devonta Freeman in New York for the Giants. And lo and behold, Devonta Freeman is going to sign with the Giants, and now he's my number one waiver wire pickup this week. I looked at that situation, and Dion Lewis certainly wasn't going to carry the load. We've never really seen him do that, even when he was in New England. He certainly didn't do anything in Tennessee in the stint after New England. But this is kind of the best case scenario for Devonta Freeman to land in. You know, Dion Lewis might steal some of his passing game work, but this is a guy that we've seen be very effective in the pass game. Devonta Freeman had 59 receptions last season. He had six touchdowns with the Falcons and over 1,000 all-purpose yards in just 14 games. So for me this week, it's Devonta Freeman because if the Giants O-line can kind of figure itself out and then Daniel Jones can play better, we'll see a lot less of eight-man boxes that Saquon Barkley was facing early on, as you could tell by his yards per carry totals. But Devonta Freeman looks like a guy that at least can come in and has a track record, unlike some of these other targets this week.
Everyone's situation is going to be a little bit different, but is Freeman someone who you just pick up and write into the lineup week one, or do you want to kind of see how he, because all the talk for the first couple of weeks is all these guys dealing with no preseason and limited training camp. Devonta Freeman is dealing with that on steroids, basically. Are you comfortable just throwing him into your lineup right away for week three?
Not yet. I would like him to get a little bit familiar with the playbook. So if you're looking at a guy, if you lost Saquon Barkley, obviously you would like to pick up Devonta Freeman. But if you wanted to go out and get a guy, you know, like Jerick McKinnon is only 26% rostered in Yahoo leagues. That's a guy that you could slot right into your lineup this week in an RB2 position because no Raheem Mostert this week. Tevin Coleman is also out. The 49ers defense is banged up, so they're going to have to throw the ball, and McKinnon will get his carries, and he will be used in the passing game. So if you can wait, if you have some running back depth and you can go out and get Freeman, I would target Freeman because he's got the longer term value. But if you need someone for this week right away, Jerick McKinnon, I think, is the guy. And because I think everybody's going to be trying to get Mike Davis. So you may be able to, if you have, you know, free agent acquisition budget, then Jerick McKinnon, you could spend a little bit less, and Mike Davis, you might have to empty the kitty for him.
Yeah, that feels like one where there's going to be some pretty high bids on Mike Davis. A couple guys who were bid on pretty highly last week were Nyheim Hines and Benny Snell. Didn't see a lot from either of them in week two. If you were someone who rushed out to pick one of those guys up and are now kind of wondering what's going on, what do you do with either of those guys?
I think they're both in a hold position, and the only reason why I say that is maybe Nyheim Hines was a little bit banged up last week for whatever reason. It's Jonathan Taylor's backfield, and I don't want anybody to take that the other way because it is. But Nyheim Hines, especially in PPR, in standard leagues, forget it. He's droppable, but in PPR leagues, he's very valuable in that Philip Rivers in his career has never thrown to the running back position less than 100 times. That's a lot of throws to running backs. So he has value there. In the Benny Snell case, I have Benny Snell in a few leagues, and it's because I don't trust James Conner to stay healthy. I was proven right in that in week one when he got hurt in the first game of the season, and it was relatively early in the game. And he bounced back last week, had a good week, but there's no guarantees that that James Conner is going to stay healthy. We've seen it in the past. He's not a beacon of health. And Benny Snell, when he was given touches, looked good. This past week, not so much. But that's what happens when you don't get into a groove. Some guys are just better when they get more touches. Some guys are just volume running backs. And that's what Benny Snell is. He's worth a hold for me in both standard and PPR. Nyheim Hines, I would hold in PPR. I would dump him in standard and try and pick up somebody else off the waiver wire.
Sorry, I just had a great question there, but my mic was muted.
Don't worry.
it was brilliant, but only my cats know of its brilliance now. Looking at some of the other non-injury concerns from this past week, Todd Gurley with the Atlanta Falcons, if there was going to be a problem, I thought it was going to be injury-related. And then I watch Falcons-Cowboys and see Ito Smith getting goal line carries. What do you do if you're a Todd Gurley owner this week?
Oh, it's such a tough question because the Falcons' defense is just so awful. And you probably spent a decent amount of draft capital on Todd Gurley because of the offense that he was going into, and you figured he was going to be used at worst in the pass game a little bit. And we're not quite seeing all that. You wonder about his health. Like he's a flex play for me at best. Like, I don't trust him as an RB2 by any stretch of the imagination right now. And unfortunately, that's kind of what you're dealing with, is the uncertainty with Todd Gurley. I stayed away from him everywhere that I could. He's got 117 rushing yards through the first two games on 35 attempts, and he only has two receptions for one measly yard. Those aren't numbers for an RB2. Those are numbers that you can kind of plug in a guy as a flex player. But even that, again, if you have running back depth, if you could go out and get a guy like Jerick McKinnon and pair him with, let's say you drafted Chris Carson or Aaron Jones, I would much rather do that and play, you know, two tight ends. I'd rather play a tight end in my tight end spot and a tight end in my flex position, because there's plenty of value there that's on the waiver wire, plenty of value that you could trade for, because it's such an undervalued position. So if you have to, you play Todd Gurley in the flex. If you don't go anywhere near him, because you just can't trust the Atlanta Falcons, because they're going to throw the ball a lot. They get the Bears this week coming up, and not that the Bears are an offensive juggernaut, but defensively they've been pretty good so far. So where is the running room for Todd Gurley? I just don't see it. He's not the same explosive player as we've seen in years past. His injuries are starting to catch up to him. And there's other guys like Ito Smith and Brian Hill that will take touches away from him.
Sticking with that Atlanta offense, Calvin Ridley kind of feels like he's going to be this year's breakout star, like Chris Godwin was a year ago with Tampa Bay. This feels like it could be the year of Calvin Ridley. Where are you at on him?
I love Calvin Ridley. And I feel like he already had his breakout last year, because last year he had a good year. He had, as I'm just checking out his numbers last season, you know, he did have 866 yards. He only played 13 games. So you'd hope that he's healthy. But you're right. He could be this year's Chris Godwin, especially in an offense like we had mentioned. They're going to throw the ball a lot. Julio Jones, hey, has a hamstring injury. We're not too sure what's going on there. He is on the wrong side of 30, and not to say that Julio Jones is done, because he's still a great player, but they're going to rely on Calvin Ridley just as much as they rely on Julio Jones. There's a reason why they drafted him where they did. This is a guy that came out of college. He was a very good player, and you know, they used a first round pick on him. It's not as if, you know, he's a nobody. This guy is a real solid wide receiver. He runs good routes. He's got very good hands, and he's fast. And again, if the Falcons are going to be playing from behind all season, that's a guy that you absolutely can rely on. And I expect Julio Jones to pick up the pace. I would not be stunned if the Falcons finish with two top 12 wide receivers. I would not be shocked one bit.
Looking at what we saw on Monday Night Football, the Vegas Raiders are now 2-0, some crazy how, as they beat New Orleans last night. But I think the big story from a fantasy perspective was Drew Brees not really looking like Drew Brees. I get no Michael Thomas, but how concerned are you over the future Hall of Fame quarterback?
There was always some concern about Drew Brees because age does eventually catch up to all of us. Time is the only undefeated player in this game we call life. And Drew Brees is getting there. You know, we've seen Drew Brees finish the season, the last two seasons, not playing all that well. And there was some concern there. The offense without Michael Thomas is obviously not the same. He's arguably the best receiver in the NFL. Maybe not even arguably. But when you lose a player like that, especially one that is targeted so heavily in that offense. I was looking at kind of wide receiver two numbers for the Saints over the last few seasons with Michael Thomas, ever since he's been getting peppered with targets. And I want to say that if you were a wide receiver not named Michael Thomas, I think there was 80 targets to go around. So it's not as if they spread the ball around to everybody. Alvin Kamara is going to get his catches. Jared Cook's going to get his catches. And then it's the Michael Thomas show. And then you can kind of sprinkle in some wide receivers here and there. So when you miss a guy like Michael Thomas, who you rely on so heavily in the pass game, that's going to affect you. The Raiders did a great job in getting after him. The one interception that Brees threw was, it just looked like he didn't see the linebacker there. And it was more than mildly concerning. He doesn't move well in the pocket. He never has. So when that line starts to collapse because guys can't get open, it's not like he can get out of the pocket and make a play. So I'm a little bit concerned because he just doesn't have his guy there. Michael Thomas is such a great player that you don't replace guys like that. The guy that was supposed to do it was Emmanuel Sanders, and frankly, he's droppable in every type of league. He was completely dreadful in that. You know, he had, I believe, 18 receiving yards yesterday. He has 33 over the first two games on 8 targets. It's just not getting it done. So until Michael Thomas comes back, I would be very wary about Drew Brees. He is very much matchup dependent when you're starting him. But there's plenty of guys out there that you can go get.
On the other side, for Vegas, I don't know how much fantasy analysis there is. Darren Waller is a beast. Josh Jacobs is a monster among men. Anyone else on that Vegas side that you might be looking at? Henry Ruggs, a real fast receiver that they draft in the first round, but it doesn't really look like Carr is all that interested in using him. What else are you seeing from this Vegas team aside from the two studs at tight end and running back?
Not much, really. That's pretty much what their offense has been. Derek Carr did a great job of spreading the ball around to multiple receivers. I think he threw to 11 different receivers in last night's game. But Darren Waller is the guy. I know there were a lot of people that faded Darren Waller. I didn't really know what to think of him from a fantasy perspective going into this season, only because there were so many other emerging tight ends. But he's shown he's the guy that they want to throw the ball to, and for good reason. He's fast. He's maybe the most gifted athletic tight end in the NFL right now, and he can get after it. They used him in multiple ways last night. They had him line up in the backfield. They had him line up out wide. They had him in the slot. They had him as an inline tight end. Like, literally every way possible, that's how they want to use him. Josh Jacobs is the other guy. I love how they use Josh Jacobs. He's their workhorse. There's no question about that. Yes, Jalen Richard got a touchdown yesterday, but don't get it twisted. Josh Jacobs should have been given a touchdown earlier in the game, and they didn't review it. I believe he was in, so that would have added to his fantasy value. But there's no... I assume that Henry Ruggs is going to emerge at some point, but I didn't have Henry Ruggs in the same category as Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb before the NFL draft, and I still don't have him in that category. So he's kind of coming in already behind those guys in terms of his development. So I still think there's time that he needs before he becomes a fantasy option. He's a good stash because he has, you know, some upside. Bryan Edwards was talked about highly through the offseason, and he's a guy with some upside, but let's temper our expectations. The Raiders want to win games. I know there's no fans in the building in Las Vegas, but they want to win games. They want to win over their fans. They're going to go to their two studs, and that's Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller.
Matt, awesome stuff, man. This was a lot of fun. We'll definitely do this one again. Thanks for taking the time. Where can people find your stuff?
You can find me at sportsnet.ca. I have my 10 fantasy thoughts that will drop tomorrow around 1 Eastern, so that'll be 11 Mountain Time if my timing is correct. And should be very interesting heading into week 3. Lots of guys that you can go pick up, and it'll be fun yet again. Welcome back, NFL.
Love it, man. Yeah, awesome stuff, dude. We'll do this again soon. Thanks today.
Thanks a lot, Peter. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.